This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Amid the developing situation surrounding Roman Abramovich and Chelsea's ownership, the Blues come away with all 3 points against Newcastle at Stamford Bridge. Cristiano Ronaldo's hat-trick leads Manchester United past Tottenham. Arsenal maintain their position in fourth place with a win over Leicester. Liverpool comfortably take all 3 points at Brighton to keep the pressure on Manchester City, and key wins for Leeds, Watford and Brentford in the race for Premier League survival. All that coming up in today's episode. Okay, Rob, of course, a big story around football nowadays is the Chelsea situation, Roman Abramovich. We've chatted about it over the last few days, of course. I thought there were updates today, Rob, just based on our show today. We had David Ornstein, our Premier League insider, on, and I thought his kind of long, probably 5 or 10 minutes of letting us know what was going on in the current update was a little startling. I think we both felt the same. I think we all knew that this was obviously a very serious situation for Chelsea's kind of future prospects and whatever, and they're looking for a new owner. But the way that he put it and some of the stuff that he said had us like, wow, like this really could be a difficult time in terms of Chelsea's future viability, sustainability. It's that serious, isn't it?
Yeah, first of all, I think I'll have to pay great respect to David Ornstein, who for us is a brilliant, outstanding resource that we can call on that gets to people at the football club, can be close to things. So, you know, great that we've got David as a resource. I mean, Rob, was taken aback. I've got to be honest. We knew that the show was coming. We knew that Chelsea were playing. We knew that we were going to maybe have a conversation. My whole thought around the football club changed on what David Ornstein said. He hit a headline, Rob, of a club in crisis, where he was talking to the point where it's not sure this club will finish the season based on how it's going, and obviously these sanctions and government restrictions and licenses and all that. But the hard facts were there's no guarantee of the club finishing the season. There's no guarantee of the club's existence. There's no guarantee that players' wages will be paid on a weekly basis. And Petacek spoke to our friends at Sky Sports and said the same thing. I thought this thing has taken a grave step backwards.
Well, it's just the uncertainty factor has been ramped up. I think you can surmise
to a certain degree, but I felt coming into today, and again, maybe rightly or wrongly, that Roman Abramovich was in charge. That, you know, a sale is likely there. But I mean, we were told that they've frozen his assets.
Yeah.
But he still owns a football club.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee what he will do and what time span he will do
right.
it in.
Right.
And that, Rob, was almost like, well, that could mean. They don't fulfil their fixtures, or where they're going to be able to get enough money to keep going into Europe and amount of games and all the policing and all the things that football clubs have to pay with. They've had credit cards suspended, accounts frozen, licences of restrictions of what they can do their day-to-day business. I mean, this is a real mess. And listen, there's many people that might say, well, that's what happens when you've got an owner who's aligned to Putin and the things that are going on. I have to say, just personally, I didn't feel things were as bad as in such a precarious position as what David relayed.
The hands of the club, really, in the future of the football club, is with the UK government. That's what's scary about this. Any other normal asset of Roman Abramovich is frozen and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Chelsea Football Club and part of the cultural importance of London or West London and the league, etc., etc., it's been allowed to continue. But it's going to be allowed to continue at such a reduced capacity with all these restrictions on travel and everything else. Mm. And the government have absolutely within their rights to do that, Rob. Yeah. The only point I made today late in our conversation about it, I'll just preface that by saying the longer it takes for Abramovich, and we know that Abramovich right now is okay with selling, right? Yeah. And that's the best thing to do. But the longer that takes, the more that it really affects the club in terms of paying the wages, running out of money, quite honestly. Yeah. They can't bring anything in. Now, the last point I made today, you know, it's somewhat controversial. I said that the government, with this license for them to play games, is in some way protecting the club, right?
Yeah, to continue. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Or protecting the Premier League, that the games can continue and the league can finish in its normal state. I had a couple of people on social media contacted me and said, so what about Chelsea's viability? So what about the government allowing them to continue? And because I suggested that, you know what, if the government relaxes the some of the ticket sales, maybe they'll be allowed to receive some money from license, TV money.
Do things,
basically, the club is going to ask to tweak the license to enable itself to pay wages and do its commitments.
Yeah, it's normal business,
And people saying to me, well, really, should they? Why shouldn't they just live as bare minimum as possible? It's not the government's job.
Correct.
With the situation and what Roman Abramovich has been accused of, and the government are pretty sure he's involved in this war effort in some ways with Putin, that, so what? Like, whatever happens to Chelsea is just by the by because of a bigger picture.
I always thought that you know, listen, there will be some who'll take that view. My other sort of point based on what we heard, what you said, the government's position is, and I heard a financier talking about the football club and supposedly a couple of American billionaires are looking, et cetera, and names are being put in. I think it's Friday, isn't it? They've got a deadline that they've got to put proposals.
For bids and stuff, isn't it?
Bids. But my sort of takeaway based on David, based on that conversation I heard today is this could be a very, very different looking, functioning, running Chelsea than we've seen in the past. Roman Abramovich owns a football club and put £1.5 billion into the club as a loan and has not taken it back. Mm. The financial was suggesting Chelsea Football Club is an unsustainable business based on how it's run. That you can't pay the wages, you can't pay anything if things aren't coming in. So somebody else may take ownership, may take the football club, but actually go, we can't run this business in this way.
Because their normal outgoings are way more than their incomes.
Absolutely, and they've got a balance, and that, there might be a balance up. So the $100 million signings, the big salaries and the things may have to be addressed. And so I'm just saying, Rob, that there's so much that's happening in this situation, so fluid. From day to day, we're hearing different things. But I get the sense the Chelsea that we know and the Chelsea that many fans have loved under the Abramovich time might look very, very different by the time it's sold. The club can maintain its position in the league and then start to think about moving on.
Well, it maintained its position in the league after today's game, Rob. It did manage to find a way past Eddie Howe's Newcastle United with a lovely, lovely goal.
Beautiful
from Kai Havertz.
Mm.
This first touch on the ball is so soft and silky. If anybody out there hasn't seen the goal, it's really worth watching wherever you can find it. A lovely, lovely touch on a finish from a player that I got reminded again on social media. You harsh on Kai Havertz a few weeks ago when he wasn't really having the impact. But all of a sudden, all of a sudden, like, his goals are, I mean, what has he got? He's got 4 goals in his last 3 in the Premier League. There's other goals in other competitions, I think, that he scored. Mm. All of a sudden, there's a number 9, and I'm not saying he's a finished article, but now this is what Chelsea fans wanted to see. This is what, when we'd seen him before in the Bundesliga, we expected to start to produce. Mm. So he is part of the story of Chelsea right now on the field, Rob. We saw Lukaku later on, but Havertz, a bit of a makeshift back four.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a four centre-backs,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Which didn't help their football,
so
Robert.
Because in the wide areas, you've not got that quality to start things off and play, which they knew. But again, listen, I think today, with all that's gone on in that football club, with the injuries, he had no Reece James, he had no Aspilicueta, he had no Hudson-Odoi to play as a right wing back at times. With the back four, Ziyech played on that right-hand side and still, I thought, played reasonably well. But with all that's gone on in that football club and who wasn't available, I think today was about 3 points, was about winning, was about concentrating on the job in hand. And you saw Thomas Tuchel's relief at the end of the game. We saw Petr Cech and Marina Gravskaya, who were running the football department at the moment, just talking. It's almost like to say, we've got through that, we're through another week, and we look forward to next week when we hope we're still in business and people can be paid their wages. Because just without going back to that too obviously, Rob, if the club aren't able to pay wages over any length of period, it breaks the contract. And there's players then who can, if they want to, and there's a situation where
tear up the contract,
they could tear up the contract. Mm. And so, that you know, great times, and listen, let's wait and see what happens. But it was important today to get the win. They did. We'll see what comes next.
Just last thing on it, Rob, just Thomas Tuchel again, the way that he spoke about this is remarkable. Yeah. His last kind of comments about the next game in Lille was, he said, well, we've got a plane. I think we've got a plane. No, I think this was prepaid, this plane contract.
Yeah, prior to
this airplane to get them to for the Champions League game. He said, if we can't fly, we'll get on a train. If we can't get on a train, we'll get on a bus. If we can't afford a bus, I'll drive a seven-seater. So the way that he's handling it and embracing it in some ways is so key, Rob, to try and keep everybody on board. Because he said it himself, he's taking it day by day. Day by day is the phrase that he used, because news changes. He said, I won't believe what anybody tells him because it could change the next day. So. Yeah. Really, really uncertain and worrying times about if, when, and who this club is going to be sold to, Rob. But I think it's in the best interest for everybody that the club, obviously, the sale goes through as quick as possible.
Yeah, he said it, hasn't he, Roman Abramovich? He'll do what's best and right for this football club. Well, they need him to do that now, to stick to those words and do it now. Let's talk about a team with a man who does his best, he will say each week, came up with some criticism, and probably answered the criticism in the best way possible. We have to talk about, we talk about Manchester United, but in some respects, you have to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. What he did gave to the team, the performance that he did, the answering the critics, and possibly keeping Manchester United in the top four race.
Yeah. Let's talk about him first, Rob, and maybe the bigger picture of the manager and the team afterwards. Yeah, I mean, we've said so much about Ronaldo, you know, over the weeks and months and seasons and years and decades, really, what he's done. We got a pretty stark reminder of his quality. I mean, just the quality of the goals, I'm sure everybody's seen them, was, I guess it doesn't surprise you given his talents, Rob.
Yeah.
I think the general demeanour of the man, I pointed out afterwards on the show, watching him walk off at Old Trafford, getting a rapturous standing ovation, he gently, politely claps and waves. But I honestly, literally thought, for him, that's another day at the office. That's another. That's what I do. Yeah. I've come here to win. No messing around. No big smiling and laughing and punching the air. He walked out of there, like, it's no big deal, Rob. And that mental toughness and the desire and the drive, you know, you can argue who's the best ever, from generations to even Messi and Ronaldo, right? Everybody's got their own kind of take on it. I don't think you can question the mentality, the mental strength. I mean, I don't know anybody who, after the success and the goal production, everything else at various clubs and trophies, can still...
37 years of age, by the way. 807 goals.
Drive.
I can't count up to 807. So I mean, how many goals he's
got. Incredible.
The drive, it was interesting, though, Rob. So, again, and we don't have to go down the road that newspapers and some of the journalists pick up, because that's what they do, sometimes... be a little bit mischievous.
There's a reason.
But I read a couple of kind of reports and analyses yesterday, which I thought was an interesting take. Don't necessarily say I take it all, but somebody said, problem with Ronaldo, and it was a brilliant day of greatness and blah, 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 and the United fans will go away happy. It hid not a great performance, which is true. But they also said, the problem with Ronaldo is he's the solution and he's the problem. And his solution, because what he does and how he does it and how he drives himself and his mentality and that. And the problem is, there's some that aren't at that level. So the frustrations that come out of him, so the things that that people say, oh, he's got a face, is his standards are that high. And because of that, United are a bit patchwork. They've got Ronaldo and they've got others who are sort of coming underneath him. And then they've got some who are not really at that level.
Right.
And the problem is, how do you maintain Ronaldo there and try and bring everybody else up? And listen, they've been trying to do something similar to this in many years since Sir Alex Ferguson left. But I thought it was quite an interesting debate in terms of can United get players around Ronaldo of that level to give? Because that takes time. That, by the time that time comes, Ronaldo's not probably going to be there or playing at this level. And, you know, do we have to just put up with the times he will be upset because he stands so high, but let's get the best out of him like they did yesterday with the three goals? But it was an interesting debate on why at times...
But he's not a problem, is he?
No, he's not a problem. But
the problem is...
The problem.
Yeah, the difference in...
Yeah,
in,
the difference.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you see from fullback Dalot, who's hard-working, does go... I mean, he doesn't have the quality that's required with balls into the box. You know, I talk about Fred, actually, who I thought was outstanding.
He had a great game.
Outstanding game. But in high-profile games against a Man City or somebody, are those players going to be at the high enough level to keep you up there? So
he looks back as well, Robert, some of the centre-backs and defenders. And Varane was back.
And
there's no problem with him. He's a quality player.
Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire, an own goal again this time. And he's had a difficult season, Harry Maguire. Lindelof is, I'm just not sure he's, back to your point about the difference in level here with somebody like a Ronaldo. So, yeah, that's an ongoing problem, an ongoing issue that I think the club didn't expect to have, given the amount of money, Rob, they've spent over recent seasons. And, you know, some of them are regarded as being successful. Wan-Bissaka's not in the side now, you know, pretty much. Jadon Sancho, Rob, as we're just swinging on to other players in the team, I think that's becoming a good story. And maybe relief in some ways with the recruitment department of Man United, given some of the other players.
Yeah.
That he's starting to look comfy, mate. He's starting to take people on and offer a threat.
And maybe were we a little bit, or we, not so just us, but were people a little bit quick to jump on that? He's a young man. Yes, he's played at Dortmund, but you're going to Manchester United. The standards are high. It's a different maybe position. It's a different way of playing.
I always said with him, at the moment, he's not great.
Point.
Well, they need great. They need greatness at the club, and he wasn't.
But it's not easy to just jump in.
I know, and we always said that, Robert.
Yeah.
It was never like, you know what, he's not doing it, he's not worth the money and all that. It's just right now, he's finding it difficult to get going, but there's still the belief, was he 21 or something? He's super young he can go on there.
Yeah.
And at the moment, like in terms of bright spots in the blimmin' squad and the team, you look at that and say, oh, that's a good sign. I mean, you could look at Marcus Rashford and many other players and be, wow, you know, we're still waiting. So that's a good part.
Yeah.
And just on the bigger picture with them, this team, Rob, has been hammered. It's been hammered by all quarters after the Man City game, you know, for various reasons of not trying, not caring, not good enough, whatever it was. And the spotlight on the team at Old Trafford, I thought they stood up and I thought they put a decent performance in terms of spirit. Now, it wasn't great, it wasn't silky, and they can play a lot better than that. I agree with that, Bart, but at least... it was competitive, and they didn't put their heads down. They didn't shy away. They didn't hide from the ball. I just think there's a little bit of credit deserved there, Rob. I know it's all down to Ronaldo's superb striking abilities, but in general, you know, Spurs are a tough team to play right now, and they found a way with an unbelievable striker, but just an attitude to get the fans back on board again. And they go again. They're still in the race. They're still in the race for the top four.
Absolutely. And I agree. I think it was a little bit over the top. I mean, the City defeat wasn't good and they were well beaten. But some of the I don't know whether it's people needing to make remarks in the media to hold their position in there. I want to go back to one person just before we move on now. Quick. Marcus Rashford, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've touched on him before. I think 24 years of age, went into the football club, 7 years in the academy. Outstanding talent. We've seen some brilliant potential moments. And you said to me during the thing, at what time does potential have to start being realised? Like, and I kind of said, good shout. Kind of now with Marcus Rashford. Not, you can't be 26 and 27 and still being potential.
I'll never forget Arsene Wenger's line.
Yeah.
At 23 years of age, you pretty much know what you're going to get. Now, there might be a little bit of maturity and a little bit of learning in terms of tactical stuff like that. But at 23, in terms of the raw material and the decision-making, that's kind of what you get.
Yeah.
That's what's exciting about young players that are under 23.
He told me Cesc Fabregas was the best one he's ever worked with, under 23, who made great decisions at 19 and 20 years of age.
Yeah.
That's what stood him out as
being. But others might potentially, you know, you can end up waiting to 23.
Yeah.
I know that other club strategies, by the way, are about potential upside.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, if a club gets rid of a 21-year-old, well, there's a couple of years there that something could develop physically or whatever. Yeah. So, but back to your point,
yeah,
I mean, and also when you hear from the manager saying that he's got to play like he trains.
Mm.
Again, not another good take, Rob.
No.
You know, you don't want to be a, remember, we used to talk about it, he was a goof around in training and saying, oh, you're just a, you know, a TG, a training round player that can't really do it on a, now that's, I think that's overly simplified and maybe a little unfair on Rashford because he has done it.
Yeah, but for the manager to say that is also, he's a transparent guy. But also, Rob, there was noise that, and again, I'm sure his agency group or whoever's, but they were starting to say, well, you know, maybe we might have to look and move him on. So there's all this kind of noise around him that's not good. He's not particularly playing well. And I just thought there was a massive contrast between Sancho's growing confidence and Rashford's
diminishing confidence.
And that's a big thing in wide players and forward players. And at the moment, he looks like he wants to take negative steps. Listen, I hope he can get his head down. He's come through that academy. He's very much part of what Manchester United have done. But he's got to play regularly in that team and to get to the level we talked about that Ronaldo's trying to set standards for. Mm. We've got to see some improvement.
What do you think about Spurs?
They got beat, but I kind of quite liked a lot of things that were there, Rob. The thing that still stands out to me is that defence is not good enough for what Antonio Conte wants. But there were times when they created chances, they got into good spots. Decision making once or twice, you mentioned there, wasn't as good as we've known. Picking out the right ball, the right pass, maybe as they've done against the City or the team. But I thought there was enough to work with there. I think defensive, better quality and structure, and you can see where they could go.
Yeah, I just think he'll be disappointed with the goals. Set piece, simple header. Not simple header, it's a good header. But not really aggressively marked, as you'd hope from a defensive side of things. The second goal was at the ball that flipped over the top. I mean, the first goal from Ronaldo was an incredible goal. Mm. You know, a simple ball over the top, Rob. It's not offside. He's in behind. They score. He gets a tap in there, Ronaldo. So I think you can see the patterns that he's trying to put out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it still goes back to the win one, lose one situation. But I thought Conte was reasonably... Well, he wasn't raging mad afterwards.
Yeah, he was pretty low.
You know, and sometimes you've got to tip your hat. Mm. You've got to say, well,
Ronaldo's
a special player
that
turned up and scores three goals. It's hard to win games. So, yeah, still a work in progress, of course. A cliche for Spurs right now with their manager. I think Rodrigo Bentancur, Rob, looks a player.
Mm, yeah.
Still got to speed up his play a little bit in certain situations. Kulusevski, we've talked about many times. Underappreciated, I think I gave him last time, with what he can do as well. So. No, it was a tough loss for them, but I still think there's decent signs that he's... It's just, I just think defensive, in terms of individuals, Rob.
Yeah.
Defenders would be an area where I think Paratici, the sporting director, will be looking at for the summer window.
To play in a Conte team that's successful, you've got to have that defence, you've got to have that comfort of defence, and not quite there yet.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see, so... No, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Let's go to the other North London club, to Arsenal. They were at home at the Emirates to a Leicester City team that looked like the league isn't going to be priority, maybe the Europa Conference League. But it's a Leicester team that had won back-to-back games, so came with a threat. It was a bit of a test for Arsenal because having started the weekend in fourth, I think West Ham had won and Man United won, so they dropped down to sixth. Mm. So it was a matter of like, yes, they've got the games in hand, but are they going to be able to win those and get themselves back up there? And I think the answer reasonably resoundingly was yes. I think we both are starting to enjoy Arsenal. I think Arsenal fans, hopefully, who are listening and obviously the guys and girls we speak to on social media, sometimes think we're a bit harsh on Arsenal over the years and it hasn't been happening. And I don't think we've ever, well, personally, I'll speak for myself rather than both of us. I've never been over harsh on Arsenal. It's just that I hold Arsenal in such high regard in terms of a football club, the way they've done their business, the way they play football. I've loved the Arsene Wenger years and used to, you know, go on record as saying I used to pay to go into that ground to watch some of his teams play. But that's the reason why, you know, I had higher standards for Arsenal. And it seems to me, and it's not even a full season yet, but Mikel Arteta is starting to make the right moves and waves with a group of players who look committed to him and look like they're enjoying their work.
I've only ever talked about what I see. I couldn't care who's at top or the bottom. And the criticism of Arsenal was just, they were going through bad times and different manager situations and different guys came in. And when we saw a game where they're all over the place and there's massive spaces in midfield and, Emery at times, you say it as you see it, whatever. Right now, what I see is exciting. It's exciting, front foot, attacking, fast, proactive football. No fiddling around trying to play out the... Remember that period of time where they kept trying to roll the ball out and trying to grind a way to play through? Arteta's got away from that very, very quickly, Rob. Where I watched the game today, I sat back and I thought... And when I watch Arsenal in possession, they're always attacking. They're always in the opponent's half. There's no fiddling around in midfield trying to find a way through. It's quick. Move the ball forward. Having fullbacks run forward. Get it into those front players. They do this clever little diamond in possession where Lacazette drops in deep to be a nuisance. The midfield players split. They get on the front foot. There was sparkling football at times. Sparkling football. Yeah. And I think, when you look back at the Arsenal and the Arsene Wenger days, I mean, that's what they were known for. The sparkling football, the one-touch football, the combinations. Mm. And it's not going to be fully back yet, but there's brewers today. And I'll go back to the fans there. They have had to endure some difficult times, been ridiculed, Rob, through different situations and players being sold and different managers coming in and the football and everything else. So I'm pleased for the Arsenal fans now that they've got something genuinely to be excited about. The young talent they've got, the ability of Odegaard and Saka and Martinelli and Smith Rowe off the bench. Yeah. And I mean, there's others. The defending players are looking better as well. I think that's an area that they still could maybe get a little bit more secure defensively.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we see it right now, everything to be excited about. Yeah. Another good performance, 2-0. Thomas Partey starting to show us his dominance, Rob. His more responsibility now.
Yeah,
we saw it at Madrid. Really good ahead at the near post. Alexander Lacazette gets the penalty. So I think, you've got to be encouraged. And Leicester City... Maybe didn't have a ton of hunger today, I'd criticise them for. But still tricky.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Arteta, front foot. And if they keep the pedal down like this, and maybe some people out there will say, do I trust Arsenal to keep this up, to finish in the top four? I get that. But on the balance of evidence we've seen now that was like 9 wins out of 11 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's a sharp drop-off, I mean, they are in pole position and it's theirs to lose. The top four spot now is theirs to lose.
51 points, one ahead of United, 3 ahead of West Ham, and they've got three games in hand, one of which is Liverpool on Wednesday. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. Two teams, Liverpool are flying and obviously putting pressure on City.
A great test for both teams.
It's a good test.
Great test for both teams.
Yeah, to measure up where they are. So we'll jump on the podcast after that. Maybe
quick line on Leicester, Rob. What do you want to add?
Leicester?
A lot of players missing today. Ndidi.
Yeah.
Tielemans rested on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, Europa Conference League now, isn't it? Because they're 2-0 up against Rennes.
Yeah.
They've got the second leg to play week, so
and they win that.
That's Europa League
that's
football,
direct
isn't it?
Europa League qualification.
So
which
obviously it looks like the eggs are going in that basket. From it was interesting though, wasn't it? Not that long ago, with Ben and Roger was saying Europa Conference League. I don't really know what that is.
You
kind of remember it now.
You need to know what it is now.
Needed it now, and another great day. And by the way, just let me say, one of the saves of the season.
Yeah, pretty good
in that game, by the way.
Yeah.
Aaron Ramsdale, who will never win it. And thingy, but should be talked of as one of the players of the season, by the way.
Well, was it you saying today in the studio that could be the England
number one,
Cup?
I think,
I mean, that sort of form. And a quick, Edu, well done. Well done, Edu. Mm. Some of the signings have come in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so critical, the players you bring in. So another good example of that. So, good stuff from Arsenal.
London Stadium. West Ham United v Aston Villa. There were so many storylines across all the games today, mate. It was one of the days, wasn't it? Like in the studio.
And that 10 o'clock window this morning.
10 o'clock window, stuff going everywhere. West Ham United, obviously, outsiders probably to win a top four spot, but going well in the league still. Doing in the Europa League competition against Sevilla coming up. Got themselves a 2-1 win against Aston Villa.
Yep.
Great to see David Moyes and his team get another 3 points to keep them in there. Obviously, Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa be a little bit disappointed. I think we have to go sort of straight to the story
Of
the game, Robin. It was Ukrainian Andrei Yarmolenko coming on as a sub in the second half and scoring a goal, which I'll speak for myself rather than you. I've got to be honest, tears came into my eyes, mate.
Yeah, it was emotional, wasn't it? Mm. It was a bit emotional.
Just explain what Yarmolenko is to Ukrainian football.
Well, he's an icon, isn't he?
He's a
Ukrainian icon of football. Mm. A guy that got to the very best in European competition. A supremely talented wide player that can score goals. Over 100 caps for Ukraine. Mm. One of those guys that is a poster boy for Ukraine football.
Yeah.
Had to take 4 games away to get his head right, catch up with family. You know, I can't imagine what's been going on in his life the last 4 weeks. And I quite honestly, Rob, I was a little surprised that he came on. Like, I guess he's ready.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was ready, and David Moyes has decided to keep him involved. But coming onto the field of play was emotional in itself for the ovation that he got. And then I think it was like 17 minutes later on, he takes a touch.
Beautiful
he scores
goal,
with that beautiful left foot. And drops to his knees and points to the sky and puts his hands over his face. I mean, sometimes the pictures in our sport tell you everything.
Yeah. There's times we don't have to say anything over those words. We just let them play. And you can see his teammates, what it meant to them, his manager and the fans. And to be honest, Ron, it was almost fans from both sides.
Yeah.
He was Aston Villa fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, he was interviewed afterwards, Rob. Of course, West Ham went on to win the game 2-1. Mm-hmm. Villa got a late goal, but not enough to try and get back into the match.
Yeah.
Interviewed again, tough, an incredibly difficult interview for him to do. Somewhat tough to watch as well.
Yeah.
And he couldn't express what he felt, Rob. He didn't have the words to say what it meant. And what I thought the nicest thing from him, he thanked everybody else.
Yeah.
He thanked the fans today. He thanked his football club. He thanked his teammates and his manager.
Yeah.
He thanked the people from the British footballing, support they've shown towards his
British
country,
public,
Ukraine. Yeah. So it was a real special moment, Rob. And it's a day today of so many moments of drama and excitement and celebration. But that's only one moment that stands out today is that. And him dropping to his knees was a special moment and something that I think we're all going to remember in incredibly difficult times.
Yeah, thoughts to him and to everybody out in Ukraine at the moment. It was like a special moment. Hopefully we'll be played a few times and a little reminder of what's going on in other parts of the world. Let's go down to the Amex Stadium. Let's go to Brighton, Liverpool. Brighton team not in particularly great nick at the moment. We continue to say how well they were coached and how well they play, but just don't have that punch at the top end of the pitch, which kind of showed itself out again a little bit in this game. Although one shot on target in the first half, Brighton, against a Liverpool team that are getting the business done. And the Liverpool's job is to keep the pressure on Man City, to not allow them an easy run to a title, and they're continuing to do that. Luis Diaz with a really brave header, a player who's just totally settling into what Liverpool are all about. And a penalty from Mo Salah to give him 20 Premier League goals for the season. I think it's 4th time already now he's done that. Mm-hmm. Interesting, some of the talk this week's been about Salah's contract and the club are saying this and where that's all going and what the situation. But the overriding thing is Liverpool got the job done again, mate. I thought they ended up being reasonably comfortable against a difficult Brighton side who can be a banana skin. And they have the ball and they move you around. Yeah. If you're not well set up, they can create chances. But I thought Liverpool were super professional, got the job done, and had better forwards who were going to take chances.
I think Jurgen Klopp remembered the first game, the reverse fixture, where they were 2-0 up and Brighton came back and got back to 2-2. They dropped points there. I watched his press conference the day before the game.
Yeah.
We watched it before the game, Rob, on the day of the match. And I was struck by his concern, really, Rob.
Yeah.
Talked about being compact. We've got to work really, really hard. Brighton can make it very difficult. They pass the ball very well. He said it on the day of the game. And we saw him on the sideline, Rob, and we picked out some video of him.
Yeah, I was just
fired
thing.
Up.
Growling
at his team. Yeah. Whoever it was. Yeah. Mo Salah hammered Mo Salah for not crossing the one time. As if, like you just said it, they are going to push Man City. Mm. They want to have no regrets. And Klopp knows all this.
Yeah.
And I just think the way he's driving his team forward right now and saying the right things. And maybe a lot of it is automatic, Rob, when you're in a team like that playing so well, the momentum and everything else. But you still need your manager to flip and smack you on the backside and make sure you do it. Of course, Luis Diaz coming into the club, I'm not sure we've seen a player settle into any team in the Premier League as well as he's
settled
in.
How brave was he, by the way? Because he did a lovely analysis, broke it down, where he's looked up, had a look, seen the guy...
On his way out,
full force.
He's thinking the ball.
And by the way, I've seen many forwards who would have put the brakes on and not quite have gone there. There was one thing on his mind, Rob, to head it into the net and then take whatever was coming.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Sanchez wiped him out. Yeah. It's like a double clothesline with his arm and his
leg. Could have easily been a red card.
Could have been a red. Should have been a red, probably.
Yeah.
It's reckless and endangered the safety of him.
I think
the only thing that saved him in some ways is that he didn't make direct contact with the head, wasn't it? Sort of around the shoulder and the chest.
I don't know. Didn't
horrible
look,
challenge.
Didn't look good, whatever it was. And Mo Salah gets the second. They get their 2-0 win. Mr. Musso, I'm going to go to my underappreciated player of the week. Now, it might sound a bit funny because this player has actually just won the Premier League Player of the Month for February. But I'm just saying maybe people are just starting to appreciate the quality value of Joel Matip. Now, Van Dijk's the man, the guy. Big Van Dijk's there, everything's happy. But Joel Matip is sneaky good, sneaky smart centre-back next to him. Played the ball in for Diaz.
Yeah,
you know, better football than you think. Came on a free transfer from Schalke in 2016. A free transfer. Just think about that. This guy doesn't get the headlines, drops in when he needs to, plays a game. Obviously, he's had a bit of a problem at times with injuries and not been able to put a run of games together. But unsung hero in a team that, superstars that, you know, Luis Diaz is the new kid on the block. Mo Salah gets the goals. Thiago comes in, great footballer. Trent assists and play. Allison scores a header. He's the guy who never gets a headline.
No,
I'm telling you what, he's important, still important. And I get the sense Jurgen Klopp's starting to value him more than maybe he has in the past.
Well, he's got new signings in Ibrahim Konate.
Konate, yeah.
Joe Gomez was doing a great job for a certain point, but he's made that position his own, and that's tough to do. And I always think of centre-backs, mistakes. I can't remember many mistakes. I mean, maybe it's unfair to other centre-backs right now in the Premier League, whether you look at, Harry Maguire or Michael Keane. I mean, we all make mistakes, but Matip makes hardly any mistakes.
Very few,
And it's so important, along with Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
I think it's a good shout, and I think he's a quality player who can do a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Is he a bit reminiscent of the, dare I say it, Alan Hansen's and Mark Lawrenson type of player, kind of graceful, decent on the ball, understated.
I don't think he quite has that gravitas.
No, not
I'll be honest,
like
but I know.
Like
what
just
you,
the style
he's,
of
he's
him.
A defend, he just wants to defend.
But he's quiet and classy.
Effective. Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying there.
Not in that echelon. No,
yeah,
those
not
two
quite in that. That's right. That's the very top. But I know what you
in
mean
that,
in terms
that,
of
in that profile or that kind of mould.
Yeah, of that defender who's reliable, who gets on with his job, who can play a little
comfortable
bit.
Comfortable on the ball.
I bet you he's one of those, Rob. When you go in training, if you went to Liverpool and trained for a day, you'd be surprised. I didn't realise.
Yeah, he's
good, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, we don't get that all the time when you don't see it. But yeah, that's my show. Anyway, Joel Matip. Enjoy your Premier League Player of the Month. Enjoy your unappreciated player
Robbie
of the
Earl.
Week from the
like
two
it.
Robbies. There you go, Joel Matip.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Should we have a relegation roundup, my friend?
Boy.
Because that's where all the action is starting to come. Let's start with Leeds United against Norwich. Jesse Marsh, two games, two defeats. team that's struggling, I think, six or eight defeats in the Premier League. He's at home. He needs a win. He gets a win. It was last minute. It was dramatic. It was very Leeds. We had tears by people who run the club.
Victor Orta, the director of football, who made that huge call.
Floods of tears.
Of sacking
emotions
club legend.
Today.
And he's an emotional guy. I remember a few weeks ago, Rob. He's fighting with the fans at West Ham or somewhere. So he's that sort of guy. But this... His reputation, Rob, is on the line.
Well, some of the club's history is on the line, lot.
He made that call.
The club's history.
Incredibly big call.
You know, if they go down with Jesse Marsh, people are going to look at Victor Orton and go,
why
did you
do
it?
With him? Why didn't you stick with Bielsa?
You know, so for him, for Jesse Marsh to hopefully come good for him and Leeds and keep them in the league, it's huge. Let's just talk through this one, Rob, because Leeds got themselves ahead. Rodrigo got the goal. I mean, there was a little bit of talk about whether Bamford was offside affecting.
I don't think he was very much play. I don't think
like
it
was affecting the play.
It was far away from it.
He's
not interfering.
And deals it. Rodrigo gets a goal courtesy of a deflection. Then Leeds have a number of great chances. Unlucky with hitting posts and balls and goalkeeper saves and one or two. Couldn't get it done.
He hit the crossbar, Rafinha.
The crossbar, didn't he, Rafinha? And Strauch had a good chance, and there was a header, another header. And you're kind of thinking, is one going to be enough?
We've seen this before, Leeds.
Yeah,
in this chance in the last two games.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's McLean, doesn't he? Comes late for Norwich and looks like he's got him an equaliser. 1-1, Dean Smith's going crazy.
In stoppage time.
In stoppage time. The place, you know, Leeds fans are shaking their head. The whole atmosphere is dropped, you know. The air's gone out of the building, and you're thinking, problem.
Well, problem until a certain young man, 19 years of age, enters the field of play. He is my underappreciated, somewhat maybe unknown youngster, and Joe Gelhardt.
Gelhardt.
Now, he came on, he attacks the ball in the play in the fourth minute of stoppage time, flicks the ball onto Rafinha, who does amazing, by the way, Rafinha, to get around the outside. Mm. He then runs into the box and scores a goal from 3 or 4 yards. People don't know much about him, Rob.
No.
All I've heard from Leeds fans is what a talent this kid is. And a little bit critical of Bielsa that hasn't played him as much as they thought he would, particularly given Bamford's injury. Now, Jesse Marsh might be wrong in saying it, but I think he's used him each game off the bench, I think.
Yeah.
But he's a talent. Mm. And I think, you know, this is a little bit of a different one. I'm saying underappreciated. Because he's new onto the scene.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah,
and we've seen flashes from him. He's already scored before this one. But in terms of gravitas for an important goal, celebrations of players jumping into the fans, director of football crying, Jesse Marsh is running around.
It's just
one. And part of this underappreciated is to throw little names out there that maybe some of our listeners and stuff not that aware of.
Keep an eye on.
There's a future in the game. Again, he's 19. He was at Wigan.
Yeah.
Did okay there. Now he's at Leeds United. And Jesse Marsh, I mean...
I was just going to say, let's talk about what today must feel like for Jesse Marsh. He's absolutely... Listen, Rob, the one thing I would say, and I think we both concur with this, how impressive Jesse Marsh is when he talks about football. He's one of them I could have a pint with and sit and talk tactics and way of playing and system. Yeah. He looks like he's got that nailed down. Now, that doesn't guarantee you anything. And
a lot of people can talk a good game.
I used to think Marco Silva was one of those great talkers, and at times it didn't really work. Maybe things are going better for Fulham. But there's absolutely no doubt, Rob, when Jesse Marsh takes the Leeds job, there's an element of... He needs it to go well. There's an element of, this is my chance now. This is it for me.
Yeah. Right.
He's got it.
For his career.
His career, everybody's looking at him. Everybody's sort of will form opinions. Some good after what we've seen today. Some maybe not so good after a couple of performances before. But he kind of needs this to happen, to build his reputation, to get a position where he's a Premier League manager now.
Well, you can I threw a headline at it, Rob, when he first got the job. 12 games to make or break his top flight managerial career.
Yeah.
Is that too much hype? Well, is it hyperbolic say that?
Well,
if he took Leeds United down, Rob, in 12 games,
when is he going to get another sniff? If you take a Bielsa out, who's a legend and hero, yes, they weren't winning, but you take
him out. And they weren't in the relegation zone.
They were in a
position of safety when he was manager.
And... He comes into the job and takes you down. He's failed, and the fans might not forgive you because they would have said, did A, rather go down with Bielsa, or B, more likely, we wouldn't have gone down if Bielsa was here. We'd never know what that is because he's not there. So it's all on him, Rob, as much as he comes across very cool and very smart. And blah, 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 it's all on him. And today, in the scenes, and the manner of the victory is immense for this man. Immense. I always say they're three points plus. we used to have a couple of those days in good old Wimbledon days where we were holding somebody, one of the big, and you nick a goal, mate, and the dressing room and the coach home and the training for 3 days and everything in the football club lifts. That's what today was for Leeds.
And he reacted, I thought, of course, his first press conference, talked a great game, he came across really well, and then you had the losses. And I thought the last one was a hard one to take at home. But he was pretty honest about it. I think that's the way he's going to be.
I won't sleep tonight.
We've got to do better.
I've got to be honest, I won't sleep,
So, I mean, they weren't winning many games, Leeds United. Yeah. They just won a game. So the fans will be absolutely all over the team again, behind the team, behind the manager. Yeah, we can't underestimate how big that win was today. No. And the nature of it, with the sub coming on and scoring in the 94th minute, I think it is just a sign of, you know, we have Paul Burmeister, Rob, that we've been working in the studio with this weekend. And I think it's such a whirlwind for Paul, who hasn't seen a lot of the Premier League over. He's so busy with so many other sports and stuff here. Yeah. I think he's like, what is this craziness
that's going on? I mean,
because in all angles, and all the games today at 10 o'clock, there was blimmin' stories and drama and goals. And so it was, I just thought that 10 o'clock window today was
And that win, Rob, just from Leeds, at 26 points. Yeah. Just gives them a little bit of breathing room down there. They go away at Wolves on Friday. It's a Friday game I'm working on, so we'll see what the reaction is. Do they get back down to earth? Can Jesse Marsh get them going? Oh, from an Norwich point of view, your mate Smudger, Dean Smith, I mean, at 1-1, you're thinking that's a great result. All of a sudden, it keeps everybody back in the things. And then it seems, as it seems the way with them, it goes away from them in the end.
I think they're one result from two or three teams to whacking in a big gap at the bottom.
Yeah.
You go mathematically when you look at it.
Yeah.
They're that many points from safety. What is it? 5 points from safety. You've got the table there. I haven't got the table.
Yeah. They got 17. 22 is Everton.
Everton and
Leeds are 26 now. Right.
So those 22, is there 2 on 22?
There's Watford and Everton. Watford and Everton on 22.
So once they win a game, then that gap shoots up to 8 points or something.
Yeah,
so that,
one of those wins.
So they're a random result away from they can't get out of it. Which no one thinks they're going to get out of it anyway.
Yeah.
He'll be, maybe not already, but it's next season for Dean Smith. He's not losing his job.
Yeah.
He's going to stay at the football club. Craig Shakespeare is his new assistant manager.
Yeah.
And they're going to attack it again. They're going to rebuild again. They're going to go again in the championship. Again, maybe I'm sorry if this is a little premature on this. And maybe they can produce a miracle late on. I think really highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But I think Dean Smith, my mate, is going to be getting ready to attack the championship next season. He's done it before. He's got promoted before Villa, so he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, tough day for Dean Smith, especially in the manner that Leeds get there. But it was all about Gelhart and Leeds and that 3 point for Jesse Marsh. Let's talk, I think, about one of the stories of the season. In a day of drama, Rob, and there was only one goal in this game, Everton's defeat at home to Wolves is as big a headline as you can have. Frank Lampard going into the job without any relegation experience, and he said that's not a big thing, and with a group of players who I think we all would look on paper and say they should get out of trouble, they shouldn't be where they are. Lose 1-0 to Everton. Connor Cody, the Wolves captain, scores. Interesting enough, Connor Cody was a Liverpool Academy player. Maybe why he celebrated it even extra hard against an Everton team. Jonjo Kenny, Robbie Musto, in 3 minutes makes two rash challenges that gets a yellow card. Now, whether that's bad play, poor decision-making, etc., what it will do from people and outsiders, and we've talked about the media and these people's jobs who are, right, look at Everton, and they've lost, and they've lost control and down to 10 men. That will be the headline, whether it's the right thing or not. Frank Lampard has got it all on to reverse the trend at this football club. They are only out of the bottom three by goal difference.
They've got some games to play. Okay, that's in some ways going for them. The worry is that the pressure and the obvious lack of confidence is really, really, really affecting the team. Defensively, nervous, mistakes,
good
vulnerable.
Players without confidence look very average.
Yeah, and it's really difficult for me and you to even contemplate this. Everton, what, like the last part of the season, they're right in the relegation. Mm. Wow, like I have no idea, even how the fans feel about it. This is just new to them, new to the manager. Frank Lampard, Rob,
was the popular choice at the time. Mm. Rafa Benitez, get him out of the club, and maybe he's got a big part. Obviously, he's got a big part of this, Rob, but there's some of those deals that were done and not done, and players. I know they had some financial fair play issues, but the Luka Dinha story and everything else, I mean, they made the change. They didn't want Victor, Pereira, they didn't want him. They wanted Frank Lampard.
New
ideas, new energy. Well, it ain't working out. Mm. And Frank Lampard right now is not doing it. He's not getting the job done. I still worry about it. Remember I said to you at the time, Rob, I wanna like this appointment. I'm not sure if Frank's ready. He's inexperienced. Was he coached like 2.5 seasons?
Yeah.
Max?
Yeah, one at Derby, one at City.
So, you've said it. They've got to find a way to pull together and get some results. Is it Thursday they're playing Newcastle United?
Newcastle United.
I mean, like, humongous game.
Yeah.
Humongous game. Yeah. You've got to find a way. Like, Leeds have found a way to win and get some momentum again and get the fans believing and hoping.
But you look at the players. Around Jamal Gray was back again. You've got Richarlison, you've got Doucouré, you've got Allen, and you've got Dele Alli. Dele Alli is an interesting one, Rob. And I said to you today, Dele Alli on the bench till, I don't know, 60, 70 minutes he comes on.
What's going on?
Dele Alli should be one of the players who's leading you back into winning games, scoring goals, making goals. Something's wrong with Dele Alli. If a manager sees him week in, week out, Rob, And still doesn't start him in his starting 11. There's a reason for that.
Donny van der Beek as well, Rob. Those two signings,
yeah.
Dele and Donny, were on paper or whatever. Oh, that's kind of good. Yeah. So you can go one side of the coin is, wow, these players are really talented players. We kind of know that from the past. They're good signings. The other side of it is, well, hang on a minute.
We haven't done anything. Yeah, yeah.
So but why should you
they
rely?
They might not be the kind of players you need
right now. You might need
a fighter and a scrapper.
And we're not seeing it. I mean, Dele Alli can't get into this team.
We
had a quick chat. Like, we have no idea what's going on with this guy. We just don't. I mean, if he can't play in a team that's struggling in the Premier League, unless it's something we don't know about, illness or something mentally, I don't know. Mm. But we know that they're in a scrap, and they've got a relatively inexperienced manager to help them the way through it. But they've got some good players. Yeah. And the Everton fans have got to believe that with the games in hand that they've got, will be enough. I mean, for our point of view, total neutrals, it's going to be a fascinating
massive
scrap
story.
At the end
it's
of the
massive
ground.
Story.
And it's a massive story with a club that's, I think, it's such a good club. And
I'm going to chuck it out there as well. And I think I mentioned to you and the thing. I'm going to try and see if we can get Roger Bennett on a podcast with us.
Well, yeah.
And see, just because he, listen, if anybody knows, loves. And talk about that club and what it is. So if you're listening, Roger, we'll get ready for an email coming in the next couple of days. See if we can get you on the Two Robbies podcast and tell us what is going on at Everton
and what the fans have a proper chat about where Everton are.
Let's move it on to St Mary's, Southampton. Had a bit of up and down form against Roy Hodgson's Watford. Game more important for Watford. And I think it showed in the end, Rob, where Cucho Hernandez got the two goals that got them up.
Finish, by the way.
First finish from an angle.
Wrap his foot around that.
Yeah, he's a clever little player, isn't he?
The overhead kick he scored.
His goals in Watford. I've always thought these goals in Watford. Saw and Dennis, you've appreciated it over time, and Hernandez. You know, the hardest thing to do is score. They've got people. It's the other side of the game. But
Roy Hodgson is better at.
That's his thing, isn't it? Which
if you can marry those two together,
it not a bad appointment when you sort of think.
Yeah, attacking flair, natural. They've got that, but just somebody coming in. Defensively organise them a little bit. They haven't scored many goals until recently, so maybe they found something.
And you know what's interesting, just as you said that, and you slipped my thought, I just thought, he's everything that Frank's not got, isn't he? The experience, been in years, the rigour, understands.
The experience. It's not very exciting. Where Frank's kind of exciting. He's new and modern. Roy's a bit old. I'm not going to say outdated, but just different in his approach.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get him out of it. You know, Watford is one of those teams that we all, you know, flippantly thought they're gonna struggle to stay up.
On the same points as Everton. Everton have got three games in hand, but the way you're playing, you wouldn't necessarily say that's any number of points. So well done for Watford and Roy Hodgson keeping things tight and alive down there at the bottom of the table.
All right, we're gonna end with your mate. With your mate, Sean Dyche. I'm going to say nothing and let you take this conversation. Brentford 2, Burnley 0.
Again, another super important game this weekend in terms of relegation.
Ivan Toney. Christian Eriksen. What a beautiful ball. I mean, you could sit and watch that ball for hours and not get tired of it.
The control, the technique, and the slow motion is in my brain right now. It's just a, and he's not. He's right-footed, and the ability and the feel on that left-footed cross was magnificent.
Okay. The Ginger Mourinho. Let's get to Sean. In Sean, we still kind of trust.
Well, don't give me kind of.
In Sean, we're still trusting, right? Okay, bear with me. We've 21 points. They're 1 point behind Watford, 1 point behind Everton, with one game more played than Everton. So two games on Watford, two games on Leeds. Yes, I would get the argument. I'm sure you're going to say, well, the two games are done and they're not scoring goals. But, and I think you attached it to this, and it was interesting, like, there's a consistency about the man, his method, and his message that I believe in. Now, they could go down, and I'm not saying they're not, but I'm believing in the message.
And so that, you're just like him, where he is like, we've thought about changing things dramatically,
correct.
We're not.
Correct.
We believe in what we've done here. Correct. We believe in this way of doing things, correct. And we'll find a way to get the points to get safe.
Yeah.
You still would support that and believe wholeheartedly that that's going to happen.
Well, just before I answered, it's just that Eddie Howe did a really long interview on Sky TV, and we had experts on it, and he talked about consistency of training, consistency of team of selection, and little tweaks and consistency. So it's the one thing that players can hang on to, and he thinks that's part of why they've gone. So it was interesting because I thought that's exactly where Sean Dyche is. Now, the question you asked is, I'm not sure, are we sort of saying, well, would somebody else do better with this group, or are you saying with this group, could he do it differently? Because I'm not sure they can do it differently. What I would say, Rob, based on the Brentford game, we watched this game, we talked about one of the things. They had three opportunities where they should have scored. Dwight McNeil should have scored with a header.
Okay.
Missed chance.
So not very good heading.
No, well,
not very good.
No, but he should have scored.
Not very good scoring.
Maxwell Cornet ran through one-on-one, should have scored,
right.
Hit the goalkeeper.
Yep.
Jay Rodriguez hits a beautiful shot, hits a crossbar and goes down. Yep. If one of those goes in, so when they've won and you still stay consistent, those things happen. How many times do you see a Burnley team that concede goals from set pieces like Leicester, that give up goals like Leeds were thrown away? None. So I've got the defence and my midfield in a reasonable place. I've got no striker. Yes, sir. Your hand is raised.
How many games have Burnley won?
Three games.
How many games do Burnley need to win between now and the end of the
four
season?
Four or five games, sir.
How many games have they played to get the three?
26.
You can tell me.
27 now, sir.
You can talk to me how long you want about hitting the bar and he should have scored this and 50p head. Dwight McNeil doesn't hit the head of the ball correctly.
Okay,
the data in fact says, Rob, and the math is starting to stack against them.
Okay. Just let me. Your great manager of Middlesbrough Football Club had the great escape. You're saying there's no great escape.
And I'm not saying that.
This wouldn't be a great escape. This would be an escape.
This would be a great escape.
This would be an escape. So
that escape relies on the points per game ratio massively.
If we'd have had the conversation for West Bromwich Albion with 10 or 11 games to go and your famous Brian Robson manager was in charge, you would have said, Robbo, You can't win it. It does.
It's a good point, Rob, but it goes back to the point about Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
He's not going to change massive stuff, so we shouldn't expect much different.
Can your forwards take their chances?
And if they're not very good at scoring,
Wout Weghorst, come on, big Wout, we need you. Here straight away, Maxwell Cornet, get him on the left hand side. If you look where all his goals came from early on, he was playing left hand side. The first win of the season for Burnley was Brentford at home, and they won 3-1, and Chris Wood and Maxwell Cornet scored. Maxwell Cornet was playing wide left.
Don't mind it. Cornet wide left.
Correct.
Scorer.
Scorer.
You put either Jay Rodriguez or Ashley Barnes with big vouch.
Ashley Barnes, because I want
and
him.
And you play, by the way, for another potential of goals, Dwight McNeil on the right side because he's good with his left foot.
Yeah, but
that's
like
another potential avenue. Listen, bear with me. How many times have we seen players come inside and bend it or score?
Yeah, he's got beauty against Everton.
What he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
For coming in on inside, that left foot, why not use that as a... I'm sure the theory is Dwight's great with his left foot crossing balls in from left flank from our big strikers. Yeah. All right, but do Corne on that side.
I'm okay with it.
Dwight coming
okay
in his left foot. It's just another potential of scoring.
I'm going to get Sean a call this week. Yeah.
Burnley need
Well,
this is it. This is the whole two Robbies. It's all on this.
It's all on this.
If Burnley stay in the division and he finds a way to win those four or five games, then Earl is Robbie One for the season.
Yeah, but never again can you doubt the Ginger Marine. If he pulls this off, it's done. Listen,
they're never going to go down before he's off.
What a weekend. Lots of drama, headlines all over the league. It's tight at the top, it's frantic for fourth, it's disturbing at the end of the drop zone, and that's the likes of Everton just out on goal difference. We'll be back on Thursday, March the 17th, when we'll look back at the Premier League game from the midweek and a big Champions League week with Manchester United and Chelsea in action. United taking on Atletico Madrid. At 1-1, the game's still very much in the balance. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies and Sean Dyche, we trust. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.